looking forward to it. Not related to Boyhood, as far as I know.
Okay, yeah, that's what I was looking at. That would be cool. But yeah, a lot of good stuff coming out. So this time next week, we'll probably be talking about that series, the Cinematheque, or...
Mm-hmm. Who knows?
Yeah, we'll see.
You'll just have to tune in next week at 8 a.m. on CITR 101.9 FM to find out. And don't be afraid to call in. We are going to learn how to work these phones for you guys, and we will be taking calls. So, yeah, I'm DJ Shock Jockey, and I'm here with Quincy, and we'd like to thank you for listening again. And, yeah, just keep on rocking in Canada.
And man, that's someone else's line on this radio station.
I'm going to appropriate it for me.
Okay. yeah, coming up next, we have the Community Living Show.
Indeed,
so
we do.
Stay tuned.
If you live in a community, check it out.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. See you next week.
Hi, I'm John K. Sampson from The Weaker Thans, and you are listening to CITR 101.9 FM.
Green eyes, torn up jeans, she smelled a bit like gasoline. Dozen freckles in between her shoulders. Summer dress all year long. The devil tattooed on her arm. Neither the church, school, or farm could hold her. Still trying to get her off my mind. Shut out the world and close the blinds. Just might sleep forever. Hey, Eddie, just fill my cup and help me to forget her. The nights are long since she's been gone. The days ain't any better. So, hey, Eddie, don't wake me up. I just might sleep forever. Just might sleep forever. Too drunk on Sunday nights. She only met her daddy twice. She had a big heart underneath, a little gap between her teeth. Her favorite Rolling Stone was Keith. Still trying to get her off my mind, but there's too many nights to leave. Might sleep forever. Hey, Eddie, just fill my cup and help me to forget her. The nights are long since she's been gone. The days ain't any better. just not sleep forever.
You are listening to Tim.
Welcome to Community Living Show here on the NCRA Radio Networks and also on the full hour show on CITR 101.9 FM.
When the road looks rough ahead and you're miles and miles from your nice warm bed, you just remember what your old past said. Boy, you got a friend in me. Yeah, you've got a friend in me. You got a friend in me.
But Will.
Welcome to Community Living Show here on the NCRA Radio Networks. I'm Kelly Rayburn. Along with me is Michael Rubin. How are you doing today, Michael?
I'm doing pretty okay. There's some interesting traffic today. They have new spots of construction on the way in here now and into parking garage. So
yeah, you have to zigzag all the way through.
Yeah, yeah. So that was pretty interesting getting into the parking today. So it took me, because of flaggers and everything, because you're trying to move dump trucks around and things like that, you know.
Right.
Construction is progress, but sometimes it's, you know, you got to build an extra time someplace.
What can you do, right?
Yeah, exactly. So
what do you have on today's show, Michael?
It was somebody that we actually interviewed in a past show on our one of our other stations, Karen McGill. She has MS, and it's a little bit about her story about how she came to terms with what she can do and turned it around and became an author. And I think she has 5 books out, but later on we're gonna I'm gonna meet with her again and we're gonna record another interview with her.
Okay.
But this particular talk that she did, I found it inspiring. It was done at the Bill conferences a few weeks ago, so I had the opportunity. She asked me to record the video, and so here it is. It's a little bit rough sounding because the room, they didn't really allow have actual professional grade recording devices,
right,
for you to tap their sound. But
okay,
but so it's a little rough, but you guys will get the idea.
All right, okay? So we'll adjust the volume if it's not very loud. Anyways, here's the clip.
That was it. I didn't get to find out that day. I waited 5 hours before I got to see a doctor and then a neurologist. By that time, I was fed up. I didn't care anymore. Okay, I didn't care. But I wanted to go home. I was tired. I was hungry. I wanted a cigarette. I was there 7.5 hours before I got to leave. With no answer, remember? 2 days later, I had an appointment with a neurologist. He poked and prodded me and asked most of the same questions the other doctors had. I tried to be a good patient, but I was starting to get scared. There were still no answers, not even a hint of what the problem could be. My mother had come to the appointment with me. And as we were leaving, I turned to her and said, Mom, I'm afraid that one night I'm going to go to sleep without my
father. And
you call me every morning so I know that you're okay. Our mother's great. I really wanted to know what was going on with my body. But it was more than that. In 1984, I went horseback riding, and the horse had a heart attack and fell off the track. So I'm laughing at one. I know it's kind of a bizarre story. Ever since then, I've been having strange things going on with my body. Sudden numbness in my limbs, unexplained pains. I'd see doctors, and they just looked at me and said, there's nothing wrong with you. I wonder if they thought it was all in my mind. But, you know, I knew it was real. I wasn't thinking anything. I knew my problems were real. So my big fear now was that they wouldn't find anything. And once again, I'd be left with symptoms and no answers. June 14th, after an MRI, the neurologist called me into his office, looked at me and said, multiple sclerosis. This was good news at first. I was relieved. Finally, I could put a name to what had been tormenting me for years. As my late father said, the devil you know is better than the one you don't. Diagnosis in hand, I thought that I would take some time off work. I wanted a couple days off anyways. And then my life would continue as normal. Was I even wrong? Have you ever heard the saying, man plans, God laughs? Well, God was laughing at me that day. technology and I don't get along very well. There it is, I got it. like I said, I took 5 days, or 5 weeks off work. The paralysis went away, left my left side a bit weak. And I went back to work thinking I was just going to throw myself into my own schedule. Part of the problem with MS is that chronic fatigue is one of the symptoms. I went back to my own schedule, but it was too much for me. I was exhausted all the time. But I couldn't afford to go to part-time, because if I did that, and I had to go on disability, they would base my payments on part-time income. In September of that year, I went to the MS clinic at UBC, and it was decided that I'd be better off leaving work. You know, I knew it was the best thing for me, but at that time, I was devastated. MS took the best job I'd ever had away from me. The job, by the way, took me a year and a half to get. I was devastated. I thought my life was over. All I could see was sitting alone in my one-bedroom apartment for the next 40 or 50 years, watching television and existing, maybe surrounded by a whole bunch of cats. And don't think, please don't think, that going on a disability is easy. I was dealing with private insurance companies who are paid to question everything. And the government agencies that are set up to deny everything. Stress and MS don't mix, and this is a very stressful time. I kept having symptoms. Numbness, pain, fatigue, problem solving, cognitive difficulties, the list goes on. There were days that I wished I wouldn't wake up the next morning when I went to sleep. But by January of 2001, all my payments were in place. I had worked out a budget, and the MS was calming down a bit. I took a 30% cut in income, and in 2002 I filed for bankruptcy. My life was a roller coaster of emotions and symptoms for a few years. But I was getting the rest I needed, my body was adjusting, I was adapting. You know, my whole life, great job and everything, that was the thing of the past. I could start a new one though. Today, I am an award-winning novelist. I'm starting a career as a motivational speaker, author, and life coach. I've been told I'm an inspiration by some. And that always makes me feel uncomfortable. You see, because I haven't done anything special. Then ask how I did it. How did I go from walking with the king and facing a bleak future to where I am now? I can't tell you. It's been something gradual, one step at a time. And then one day I happened to look at my life and go, wow, I like it. I still have my dark days. I still have days where I feel that I'm not going to be able to accomplish anything. Can't do all these things I want to. But that's when I have to remember what I've already done. Remember that I am stronger than I think. Just like every one of you. You're all stronger than you think, and I've got three reasons why. The first reason is that we were made that way. Do you remember your stories and the history lessons? Remember the cavemen and women? As far as we know, their existence consisted of finding food, trying not to be food, finding shelter, and procreating. Yet, they managed to end their civilization for generations to come. In later centuries, people have left their homes, their countries of birth, everything they knew and loved, to travel to savage lands where they had to start over, sometimes building their homes under the grounds they walked on. These people not only survived, they built great countries. Homegrown examples of strength include two of my heroes, Terry Fox and their cancer. Terry loses a leg to cancer and starts a run across Canada to help support cancer research. Rick wheels his wheelchair around the world to help those with spinal cord injuries. And you know something? We're made of the same stuff they are, with the right motivation, training, and personality. We can accomplish any great feat we want. And looking out over the audience, I would say that most of us have made it through puberty. And those teenage years took a lot of strength. Sometimes I think more for our parents than us. Some of you may be raising kids, maybe teenagers. And I'm sure you're now seeing just how strong your parents were. Now, just because we are these pillars of strength, does not mean we have to be able to do it alone. The second reason we are stronger than we think is that we're able to help each other. When a person comes to Canada, there are agencies set up to help them adjust, aren't there? Help them learn our laws and our culture, to get them on the best path possible. When a child is born, there's a doctor or a midwife to assist in the delivery. Then as the child grows, you have teachers, babysitters, religious leaders, people to help keep that child, to give the child the best in life, but all people who help. Now, the second part of this is that we can help each other. No one becomes truly successful all on their own. There's help given and received along the way. The author Napoleon Hill said that it is literally true that you can succeed best and quickest by helping others to succeed. That's what Bill's all about, isn't it? Now, this is something you probably want to keep to yourself, but has anybody in the audience ever felt really desperate? They felt like maybe their life wasn't worth it anymore? They didn't want to, you didn't want to continue. You didn't want to face tomorrow. This leads me to my third and final reason you're stronger than I think. It's also my favorite. Hope. That little flicker inside of you that tells you to hang on. Tomorrow's going to be a better day. Just keep plugging. And I know we all listen to it. Do you know how? You're all here. You're also fighting life and just living your life to the best of your ability. You're here, right where you belong. listening to me. We never know how strong we are until we are faced with situations that put us to the test. Just like we never know what we can accomplish until we actually set about to do so. Some of the things I went through, I never thought I'd survive. Did. We may be stronger. That is the message I am passing on to all of you. Whatever you feel weak or overwhelmed, feel like you can't do anything else, remember what you've already accomplished in life and draw on that to empower you and get you through to the next hurdle. Because as long as you aren't 6 feet under, you're on the right side of anything that is possible. Thank you.
That was Karen McGill.
McGill, yes.
And that was her Bell Talk from 2015.
Hmm. Interesting. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We're going to come right back in a moment, and we're going to do some business experts show on your on the one of the topics you did a while back was on banker sisters. So.
Yeah.
Want to check that out?
Okay.
All right, we'll be back.
Super Fiesta Los Furios CD Release Party. April 17th at the Imperial, we'll see the release of the newest Los Furios CD, along with special openers, Warless, Kutapira, and the Hang Ten Hangmen. Also featuring Go-Go Girls, April O'Peel, and Violet Femme. This is not your normal show. This is an all-out carnival. A fiesta with visuals, contests, and dance. Tickets are available at Zulu, High Life, Red Cat, Neptune, and online at ticketweb.ca. This April 17th at the Imperial.
How much do you know about bikes? Everything? Perfect. Nothing at all? Even better. At the UBC Bike Kitchen, you can use our space and tools to do your own bike maintenance, get one-on-one instruction on how to fix your bike yourself, or drop your bike off for us to repair. You can also buy a fully refurbished, guaranteed used bicycle, or a variety of new and used parts and accessories. The Bike Kitchen is UBC's nonprofit, student-owned, full-service bike shop. We're located in the basement of the Student Union Building. Just look for the stairwell on the north side of the sub across from Gage Towers, or search for the UBC Bike Kitchen on Facebook. Stop by the Bike Kitchen and then get riding.
Welcome back to the Community Living Show. I'm hearing some bit of an echo noise on your earphone. Yeah, something on your earphones. You just
okay,
adjust your earphones for a bit. So.
Let's see if we can turn that down.
That'd be a lot better because the sound of it will affect on our microphones and it'll affect on the air. So, all right. So this one is called the Business Expert Show, and you interviewed one of the banker sisters. Maybe you can tell us, tell our listeners about that.
Yeah. I actually did that a while ago. These headphones are like, it's the headphones, not the...
Very sensitive, yeah.
Yeah. And it was Rosalind Kwa, mm-hmm. and she has a really cool vision for the world. The Banker Sisters are involved in a system called Bank, and it's really a business tool, but it's more than that because it's a relationship tool. Okay. It tells you the idea is for it to help you build better relationships. And we all know when you build better relationships, it doesn't just affect your business life. It affects your family life. It affects your whole life.
Cool.
And that's what the whole purpose of this particular system is about, is changing people's relationships.
Okay. All right, well, let's have a listen to it.
Yep.
Welcome back again to the Business Expert Show, and we're here today with Rosalind Kwa, is it?
It's Kwa.
Kwa. See, I always knew I was mispronouncing that. And she's speaking today about bank. And it's not the kind of bank that you're actually thinking about. There's a lot more to this than just simply depositing your money. So tell us more about bank.
Sure. Well, actually, I'm going to start by introducing myself a little bit and, you know, share about my background. So ever since I can remember, I've always been interested and fascinated by people and cultures. And, you know, over the past 12 years, the work that I've done has always been with empowering or coaching, especially groups that, you know, may be marginalized or disadvantaged. So that's my professional background. And what BANK is actually a really simple and powerful communication tool. And I call myself a banker. Not like you think, it's another kind of banker. And so, you know, I've always been an entrepreneur, even when I, you know, worked in a typical job. And bank is something that has found me.
Right.
And how I discovered bank was my sister and I were actually at a seminar. And we played a card game. And this card game revealed something really interesting. It revealed to us for the first time in our 30 years of existence that we were different. Now, I was aware we were different as people, but I didn't have a way to explain it. So bank was like that bridge that allowed us to understand each other and honor each other and actually transform our relationship. So before bank, we were distant. We even actually really annoyed each other, irritated each other growing up. You know, my sister was a total bookworm, and I was spending my time socializing and playing with my friends. And I'd want to invite my sister to play with me, and I never understood why she didn't want to play with me. And so, you know, then on it went for years. She would be locked up in her room, and I'd want to be socializing. Right. So, and over the years, you know, it seemed that the older we grew, that the farther our connection was, you know, and could never figure it out. And bank was a tool that helped us understand each other. And since bank, we have actually improved our relationship dramatically. And we decided that we would become certified trainers of this methodology. Right. Hence, bankers, and we actually call ourselves Banker Sisters.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I remember the first time I met you guys that you were both very sociable, which you both, so I guess through bank, your sister found her way around, hey, I don't need to stay in the books and I can actually talk to people, because I think she was the one who played the game with me before you did.
Right, yeah. So you know,
so I've met both of you.
Right. Well, we discovered bank actually in the US, so that was where the seminar was.
Yeah.
And I decided that, you know, I wanted to be the first in Vancouver to basically share it with the business world here.
Yeah.
And you know, one of our first exposures was actually at Canada Marketing Summit last spring, I believe.
Yeah, it was.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's true what you say, actually. My sister has learned how to interact with, you know, the all different types, and I'll talk more about the different types a little bit later on. Essentially, BANK is an acronym.
Right.
And, you know, it is really, think of it as like a language, you know. B stands for blueprint.
Right.
Okay. And A stands for action.
Okay.
N stands for nurturing. And K stands for knowledge.
Nice.
And so, really, it's beautiful because what I share with people is each person is walking around with almost like a code or a language of their own. So, whatever your dominant type is, that is your language. And I often, you know, hear people, you know, maybe complain about not getting along with their boss, or this coworker is really getting on their nerves, or if they're in business, you know, they can't seem to close the sale, you know,
right,
with someone maybe they don't have a powerful connection with. And what bank does is it allows you to essentially realize, first of all, if you're not getting along with someone, that's not really an insurmountable problem. You can learn how to speak their language. So first you need to find out what that language is, whether they're a blueprint or an action or a nurturing or
so
knowledge.
So each of the letters represents a specific way of communicating.
That's right. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, first you got to find out, okay, what personality type or what language are you speaking? And then secondly, start speaking the language, you know. So that's really why bank is powerful, is, you know, it allows you to connect with more people and have better relationships,
yeah,
and, you know, do more business in less time.
That way you don't have to worry about as much of the stumbling blocks because you already have a basic idea of what this person's going to be looking for and how to present it to them so that they understand you the first time around.
Right, and actually, a lot of people intuitively know how to relate to people.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm someone who, I love people and I have no problem talking to people. There's a certain percentage of the population that I'm, before bank, I was very uncomfortable with. And now, it's no longer scary or intimidating, you know? So it really is a life-changing skill set for someone who's open to learning it.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cool. So, is it any specifics that you can tell us about bank and in its inner workings, or...?
Sure. Well, a lot of people ask me, you know, I have heard of, actually, they ask me, is bank like the Myers-Briggs or the color theory, you know, because there's four colors associated with each type.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I say is the concept is similar in that, you know, there's the idea of people are different, and that you need to understand what makes people different. What's special about bank, in my opinion, is it was created specifically, actually it was designed and proven to help people make more money in business.
Right.
So that's what I find is amazing about it, because the way you use it is really determining, it's like, you know, flipping the mirror. Most personality typing systems, they basically help you learn about yourself,
yeah,
right?
Okay.
And
yeah,
it's awesome because we're our most favorite subject,
yeah,
right? What bank does is it's kind of like flips the mirror and allows you to learn about who your customer is, and more importantly, the values that drive their buying decision.
Right.
Yeah.
I remember some of the other sales seminars I've taken, and some of them I've actually taught. One of the things they, since you brought up mirror, they said that you had to mirror your customer.
Yes.
Because that's what makes them feel comfortable when they see themselves come back to them. But yeah, they never, in all those seminars, you're like, well, it was very vague of how you were supposed to mirror them. What it sounds like you're saying with bank is they get specific in how you're going to mirror that customer.
That's right. Actually, that's absolutely true. I have learned the concept of mirroring, and I believe it comes from the field of neuro-linguistic programming.
Mm-hmm.
So I've had some training in that. I would say that, yes, there is an aspect of mirroring in the sense that when you mirror someone, you create an immediate sense of comfort, and, you know, people like them, right?
Right.
So there's that. And I find that with bank, you can still mirror, but then bank actually gives you, it's almost like a whole data bank of insight about, you know, yes, you're going to mirror, but really, how do you mirror? Do you mirror kind of blindly and just almost like
you know,
right,
mocking them, or do
which
you mirror,
make them feel uncomfortable,
right? Or do you mirror with insight? I find that bank gives me insight about
right.
the person, and so that I can mirror more intelligently. And I find actually I don't need to mirror that much. You know, I don't have to try, because I'm using my insight about, you know, basically what makes them tick.
Right.
And almost, instead of mirroring, I try them on. So I become that type.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah. It's
I see that
really
being
powerful.
Wave. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
So it's a good way of how it works.
Yeah.
Is you get enough insight and intuition that you can actually, instead of mirror them, try on their suit. That's
exactly. Exactly. You actually get into their world, and the rapport that you build is a lot more powerful
right.
than just if you're just mirroring.
Yeah.
You know?
What is the personal impact that the bank has had on your life and your family life?
Great question. I'm glad you asked that, because as I mentioned before, you know, bank was created for business. Mm-hmm. However, it's had a powerful impact on me personally, apart from, you know, what I shared already earlier, that it's transformed the relationship between me and my sister.
Right.
And to where we weren't really talking to each other at all, to now, you know, really getting along and being business partners. So that's one thing. Then secondly, bank is something that teaches people how to honor themselves and their gifts.
Right.
And develop a kind of amazing, like, non-judgment of people, actually, and a really deep self-acceptance. And it's funny because I have studied some spiritual practices, like meditation and, you know, concepts of nonviolence, and in an effort to be a positive agent in the world. And I feel like after 15 years, you know, I still, like, I'm constantly practicing. And bank felt like it was like a fast track to being this, you know, non-judgmental, accepting person. So that's amazing. And along with that, it's helped me to really honor who I am. And so how that translates in business is really honoring one's values. That's something that I used to struggle with. I used to be very uncomfortable with asking for money. And that actually is revealing of my code, my first code, which is a nurturer. So very common for nurturers to basically help, you know, almost unlimited fashion. And we're programmed to help, and we almost give everything away, actually.
Mm-hmm.
So after bank, I came to recognize my value more so, and as a result, I've raised my fees, and obviously I made a lot more money. It's also helped me with actually my relationship with my parents, in the sense that I no longer react to them, and that's amazing. I mean, it's so liberating to no longer react to, you know, the people in your life, your friends, your family, you know.
Right.
Yeah. So that's the kind of personal impact that I've had. And I've had people tell me, you know, I bought the bank program to help me with my business, but actually it's saved my marriage. So, I mean, when I hear stories like that, I can't help but think, you know, more people need to know about bank.
Yeah. So what is your vision with bank here in Canada?
Well, when I first encountered bank, I wanted to be the first certified trainer in Vancouver, and I managed to accomplish that in about
okay.
6 months. So woohoo! And you know, really, my vision for bank in Canada is I wanted to be a kitchen table word, like, you know, people will walk around the street and they will be speaking bank, talking about bank, you know, and it's actually been coined the language of the people. And that's, I think that's really fitting for what it does, because no matter, you know, what nationality you are, no matter what personality you are, no matter what professional background, anybody can learn this. It's a simple, understandable system.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, 10-year-olds get it. 6-year-olds get it. They play the game and they get it, right? And Bank is also expanding rapidly. It has been expanding rapidly in the last 18 months. So originated in the States, then expanding in Europe, some parts of Asia. It's now in South Africa and starting to expand in Latin America. And of course, here in Canada, we have about 5 certified trainer. I almost said personal trainer. But I'd say Bank is like a muscle for communication, you know. So that's the personal training part. So we have a small but mighty team here in Canada, and we're in all the major cities. So Vancouver, Calgary, Toronto, and Ottawa.
Nice.
And my vision is to grow a team of 100 certified trainers in Canada, so that we're going out there, going into small businesses, to the government, you know, the public service,
mm-hmm.
to large corporations, and really teaching this skill in communication. Communication is the heart of relationships, you know,
right.
personal or business.
Right.
And so, you know, I want a team of people who are passionate about making a difference in
mm-hmm.
people's lives. And also, you know, want to make a decent income, either part-time or full-time.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Rosalyn, you said that there is a world-class event that you wanted to invite everybody who's watching this to. So why don't you tell us about that?
Yes, I'm so excited about that. So the name of the training institute behind this bank methodology is actually called Global Bank Academy. And we have an annual training convention called the Bank Heist. Get it?
Sounds good.
So what is a Bank Heist? Well, Bank Heist is 3 days of world-class training. So tools, techniques, new technologies, and really very rich discussions on the future of business. We have people like Tom Hopkins, Eric Lofholm. Tom Hopkins, for those of you that don't know, is actually one of the world's master sales trainers. He has trained over 5 million people
right.
with his sales training seminars. Sharon Lecter will be there as one of our speakers. She is actually the woman behind Rich Dad, Poor Dad. Most people know Robert Kiyosaki as the
yes.
author, but what they don't know is there's actually a woman behind that book, and that is Sharon Lecter. So world-class trainers and parties and receptions like you haven't seen. Like if you've ever been to a training convention and you thought it was amazing, well, the Bank Heist will actually top that. There's a white party reception, which is a welcoming reception, where people will meet the certified trainers, we call them bankers, and other members of the community within Global Bank Academy. There will be a black party, which is for the blacklist, which is the basically inner circle, best of the best in our company. And then there's a color party, which you can probably guess what that is, right? Like, come dress in your primary color. So there's these 3 parties, and the networking, personally, I think it's priceless in the sense that these are people who are 6, 7, 8 figure income earners.
Mm-hmm.
And these are movers and shakers, not only North America, but from all over the globe. We have people from Europe, people from Asia, South Africa, that are attending this event. And
nice.
So Bank Heist is September 19th to 21st, 2014, and it's in Las Vegas, Nevada. I actually am authorized to gift a limited number of general admission tickets for those of you who are highly motivated to be successful in your business. And even if you don't have a business, if you just want you know, better communication, you know, deeper relationships, having more meaningful conversations with people, I recommend that you attend. It's actually a 1995 value to attend this event, and I'm very happy to give some tickets to your viewers. If people want, they can actually go to our website, which I'll provide. It's www.bankersisters.com. So BankerSisters.com.
Just as it appears on the screen.
Right. Yes. Right there. So BankerSisters.com. And yeah, I hope to see you there. And I personally would love to invite you as well.
Cool.
Yeah.
Okay. So as a part of the show, I ask this of everybody. What is the one thing that you've hung on to that kept you going as an entrepreneur?
Oh, wow. Good question. I would have to say Simon Sinek, in the TED Talk, he talks about start with why.
Mm-hmm.
And so I hang on to my why, which is my personal vision. And part of my vision is really to see people live their dreams. And so whatever business I get involved in, it's always about empowering people to be better or do more. And so that fulfills me. On a personal side, one of my dreams is actually to create a great impact, so inspire millions and millions of people. So that's my why, and that's what drives me. So every day when I wake up, I think, how can I inspire someone or help someone? And I feel like I can do that with my business. And if I'm not doing something, if I'm just, you know, going to a job, I mean, nothing against jobs,
right.
but I feel like I can be a lot more impactful doing what it is that I'm doing in business.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you, Rosalyn.
Thank you.
It's really nice seeing you again.
Thank you for having me.
Not a problem. Love to have you again, too.
Rosalyn from The Banker Sisters. Again, you can check their website, www.bankersisters.com.
Yes.
For the latest update and everything like that.
Yeah.
We're going to go and take a break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about mass transit. Stick around.
Saturday, April 18th, CJSF and CITR team up to cover Record Store Day 2015.
You got me curious.
You got me curious, Rob.
Live broadcast from all over Vancouver. Record Store Day events at Beat Street, Vinyl Records, Horses Records, Red Cat, and Neptune.
Experience Record Store Day on air from 1 p.m. till 7 p.m. or in person at any of these locations.
Tune in for prizes, interviews, live music, and more.
Only on CJSF 90.1 FM and CITR 101.9 FM.
Just you and me.
Nothing, just you and me. Age before beauty.
Anything you say, Stanley.
I do all the work, okay?
Record Store Day 2015.
And that's all.
Yeah, the state of hip-hop right now, man, as far as the way I see it, I think right now, hip-hop is advancing as far as skills. You got brothers, you know what I'm saying, getting, like, more witty.
There ain't nobody to be pretty for. Let it rattle, let the clatter kill him, let the cataclysm wash. Who really listens? Precision with a verse draws a crowd. I draw a line between an easy melody and peace of mind. Uh-huh.
You got DJs doing all kind of crazy shit on the turntables. I like where it's going, and I like, you know what I'm saying, the creative process that brothers is trying to take it to right now.
Rally Rails and Brendan Butter in the place to be. Crimes and Treasons Radio, 101.9 FM, Vancouver, CITR.ca, every Tuesday, 9 till 11.
Dynamite!
The trustees have a few suggestions they would like to submit to you.
I think you know what the trustees can do with their suggestions. I don't know what they have to say. It makes no difference anyway, whatever it is.
I'm against it. No matter what it is or who commenced it, I'm against it. Your proposition may be good, but let's have one thing understood. Whatever it is, I'm against it. And even when you've changed it or condensed it, I'm against it. I'm opposed to it. On general principles, I'm opposed to it.
He's opposed to it. In fact, indeed, that he's opposed to it.
For months before my son was born, I used to yell from night till morn, whatever it is, I'm against it. And I've kept yelling since I first commenced it. I'm against it.
That's, of course, Horse Feathers, I'm Against It clip. And, of course, we'll probably be talking about TransLink referendum, if that was the case. If you go to the website, notranslinktax.ca. And we haven't touched about on this topic as much.
No, we really haven't talked about it too much.
Yes.
I guess a lot of it is we were waiting for more information about what is it that they plan to do with the tax. If things are going to go for good stuff, you know, I'm all for, you know, putting up money to make it happen.
Yes.
But again,
But what is that 0.5% of the taxes for? Because, we already spend our money on bus fares and compass cards and all sorts of stuff. And, of course, if you go to the No TransLink Tax, it gives you more detailed information why TransLink is an extremely wasteful organization, how they say it in a negative territory side, for that matter. I don't know if you've already checked the Mayor's Council website as well, on the yes side?
No, I haven't looked at that.
Okay, well, check that out, mayorscouncil.ca. Yeah. That's the yes side. The no side is notranslinktax.ca, so they have a mix of both sides on stuff.
You know, before you make up your mind about how you want to decide on this as a general public, you know, you should look at both sides.
Absolutely.
You know, maybe there's something in there that you would resonate with, and that would make up your mind rather than just saying yes because, hey, it's the government, how could they steer me wrong, or saying no, it's the government and they're always wasteful. So
yes, good point there.
Yeah, you know, look and see what the really hardline facts are, you know. So with that though, you were telling me off air about a new line from Langley to Chilliwack, was it?
That is correct. It's called the Fraser Valley Express. Fraser Valley Express is the number 66 route that starts from Colville's Exchange over in the Park and Ride area in Langley. And it goes through Abbots Road and through Chilliwack on the Trans-Canada Highway, pretty much similar to what Route 555 is from Colville to Braid Station. Right. So if you're going to connect to there, you would have to start from Braid Station to Colville, C-I-R-V-O-L-C-H, Colville Exchange. Sounds Klingon to me.
Yeah.
Excuse me. And then there you have to wait, depending on what time it leaves. Then you can transfer to the Route 66 all the way down towards Chilliwack. It takes you directly to downtown Chilliwack. And they just had the information today on all the information on it. You can check under BC Transit's website, bctransit.com. for all the detailed information and how the Fraser Valley Express will cost approximately like $1.35 million annually with the people to from Abbotsford and Chilliwack and Langley combined together.
So, did they say what the approximate fare would be?
Well, the fare is $5 one way, and
okay,
that's the price for the cash fares. $5 one way from Langley to Chilliwack. Totally
so
separate.
It's still going to be like a Zone 3 sort of.
It's more than a Zone 3 because you're going outside of the TransLink regional zones. So it's $5 one way from Abbotsford to Chilliwack. No transfer. They don't give you a transfer. Once you're over there, you have to pay the other fares along with the regional districts, for that matter. So that's that. And then, of course, you also have a monthly pass. They're about $100. Seniors and students' monthly pass are like $85. A book of 10 is $45. Children under 8 are free. Bus pass program is accepted. Of course, myself is included. I do carry a bus pass around. I'm partly autistic as well. So that is that's the route. And there's also a possibility of maybe another route from from Squamish to Vancouver as a possibility as an express route. And you were mentioning about you have a friend in Whistler.
Yeah, I have a couple clients that are actually out in Whistler. It's part of a philanthropy project, and it's such a beautiful area out there to shoot videos, especially it's stuff that involves that needs more natural scenes as opposed to more urban scenes that we have here in Vancouver.
Right.
Not that you can't find nature scenes here in Vancouver, like in Stanley Park and stuff, but it's more the feel of the lakes and things like that out there in Whistler, and that's where they live. That it just seems to lend better when I actually shoot their videos. And right now, to go out there, it costs me about $100 in gas.
Yeah.
And, you know, the bus out there.
Costs,
you know,
an arm and a leg.
Like the Greyhound bus, it costs about the same. Mm-hmm. So, you know, something like that would give me more options to actually getting out to them, you know.
Right.
So, yeah.
It's a good opportunity.
And that's the sort of stuff that if they're asking for the tax, then that's more the stuff that they need to be putting into to show more value to people. It's like, hey, we want to help you get all over the Lower Mainland, not just
other parts of the region.
You know.
Fair enough. I mean, originally, when TransLink started, it was supposed to be a Greater Vancouver Regional Transportation District. But now what I'm hearing during the past news, it was supposed to be called the South Coast British Columbia Transportation Authority, which means TransLink was supposed to be bordering between Pemberton down all the way to Hope. That was the TransLink's original plan, the whole South Coast Transportation Authority. I'm assuming TransLink or BC Transit is involved with TransLink.
Yeah.
And where Chilliwack and Langley, that's just the beginning of it, and I'm hoping where Squamish and the link from Vancouver to Squamish to Whistler to Pemberton would be another link to it as well. So I'm hoping we will see it further down the road. So all I can say is stay tuned for upcoming BC Transit links to it. And
it would be really, really good to have Mm-hmm. It would be more convenient to people.
It'll probably be more convenient to people, and then, of course, that if that's the case, then we may see a decrease on the Greyhound buses linking to Whistler as well. So that's what I heard on the publications.
But it's a completely different usage. Mm-hmm. If I'm going to jump on a Greyhound,
yes,
it means that I also want to carry like a bunch of luggage and things like that,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to transit, where hey, you know what, it's pretty much a me. I'm going for the day,
mm-hmm.
and you know. It's a completely different usage.
It is a different usage.
Yeah.
Next week, do you have any plans? Well, our show next week? Do you
have- we should have the Remarkable Man Project on. Dwayne Clausen, he talks about the changing energy in our society now and... changing roles for genders and things like that,
mm-hmm.
And building better relationships when you realize what the energy changes are.
Okay.
You know? So, and relationships are helpful to everybody. So
should be good.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks, Michael. We'll talk to you again next week, and we're leaving the show with the Deers and a song called Savior. Have a great one, everybody. We'll see you again next week.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Had a savior from child to teenager. Now I'm a man, a full grown man. Spirit's been crippled and feeling a little run down, a little run down. Could blame the devil, he gave me the shovel to dig my own grave. Forgive me. I'll make it right. I'll make
Check out this year's fun and thought-provoking films for kids and young at heart. Reel to Reel, April 10th to 17th, features films from around the world and includes hands-on workshops and activities for the whole family. Don't miss the Saturday morning pajama party and Sunday fun day, the weekend of April 11th to 12th at the Van City Theater and Roundhouse Community Center. Reel to Reel runs April 10th to 17th. For more info, check out r2rfestival.org.
Please remember to watch your language.
Look, I can't speak without swearing, and I've only got my grade 10, and I haven't had a cigarette since I've been arrested, and I'm ready to f***ing snap. So I'd like to make a request under the People's Freedom of Choices and Voices Act that I be able to smoke and swear in your courtroom. Because if I can't smoke and swear, I'm f***ed.
The following programming may contain content that some listeners find offensive. If you are sensitive to foul language or explicit content, please turn your radio the f*** off now.
Wand is Victoria musician Derek Jansen. This Saturday, April 11th, with openers Chastity Belt and Vex, Wand plays the Cobalt. Doors at 8 p.m., show at 9. Advance tickets are available for $10 from Red Cat, Zulu, Neptune, and online. Brought to you by Timbre Concerts and CITR.
Hello, good morning. You are listening to A Face for Radio featuring some special guests today.
Hello.
Hello, hello. Special guests. Hi. From...
with a very special host.
Thanks. From The Syrup Trap, Canada's greatest humor magazine of all time. Yep. Is that correct?
That's what we call ourselves on the site, Canada's greatest magazine.
Hi.
Hi, that's David.
All right, do you guys want to introduce yourselves?
Sure. I'm Nick Zarzicki. I'm a writer and editor at The Syrup Trap.
Hey, I'm Nathan Hare. I play guitar in the band.
I'm Matt Cardinal, and I also like to party.
Hi.
That's David Marino. He doesn't speak very much.
Sometimes.
He's a bird we taught how to say hi.
And the quiet beetle.
Walking into the booth now is Winnie Code. Do you have an audience effect cued?
There it is. College radio. All right. So before we get into intense, moving discussion, we're going to listen to a couple songs. And the first song is by a band from LA called Cherry Glazer that Nathan and I both saw last week. Enjoy.
Yeah, cool. Wow, you guys have seen bands behind my back. Not even
shouldn't have
me
mentioned
about
that.
Yeah.